quotes up on the web at O'HaraRE.com. If you need any type of construction work done, call O'Hara Homes at the same number, 281-373-3393. Davy Crockett ended up being an historical figure in Texas history and embodied the Texas spirit. God bless America and God bless Texas.
The Voice of Texas.
The following program has been furnished and paid for by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSCB and KGBC are not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path. And so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're very happy that you could tune in with us today, and we hope to talk about some exciting news regarding what else? Roth funds, Roth retirement funds. Thus far, it's only a proposal, but it has bipartisan support, and I am excited that finally one of the only doors that we've had closed to us on getting money from a retirement plan into a self-directed 401 trust looks like it's going to open up, hopefully sooner rather than later. But in any event, we will go into more detail on that. And I tell you, the possibilities, at least with regard to what we consult in, which is primarily real estate private partnership syndications, it's huge. And it's even, if huger is a word, it's even huger, bigger, for those of you that may have Roth IRAs and you're already investing those funds directly into these private real estate syndications. Multifamily generally is what we consult on. And you probably, I'm willing to bet you, you're not reporting correctly on your Roth IRA. And we'll get more into that, because I doubt seriously, if I have no idea how many people are within the sound of my voice, but if even 1 or 2% of those folks that already have real estate private partnership syndications in their IRA, self-directed IRA, I would be shocked if you knew that you probably, well, you may not owe any money yet, but you had a filing requirement every year since you started it. In other words, there was a return that you would file. It would show zero tax at the bottom, most likely. I mean, again, I don't know all your facts and circumstances, but anyway, we will go into more detail later. Anyway, I just want to point out our normal disclaimer that as we get started here, that we are not providing investment, tax, legal, or other professional advice. If you desire such advice, we suggest you connect with your existing advisors to obtain that. And if they don't consult in this arena, or if you don't have advisors, then you're welcome to consider joining us. You can go to our website at baplanner.com. That's baplanner.com. And if you'll look at the top right, you'll see a forms link. And if you'll go to that page, fill out at least the first form. Actually, I'd really appreciate if you could fill out the first form, the client profile, on that page. And then the second one is a retirement profile. We would like to know specifically how much of your retirement funds are in Roth already, because those have other opportunities and maybe the same opportunity depending on your administrative setup. And by the way, if you haven't heard the show before and you don't know what real estate private partnership syndications are, I'll try to bring those folks along here slowly and allow you to understand what a syndication is. And by the way that most of the platforms talk about syndications, it's almost like it's, you know, a secret that, you know, they don't want to tell you everything. They use it if it's a multi-day workshop that the investment group or mentor group is putting on. They leak information all day on the first day about, well, you know, they're going to talk about syndications tomorrow, as if that really means anything other than partnerships. They're going to talk about joining together in a partnership, and you have a sponsor that would be thought of as a lead partner, and you pool your money to buy maybe a 300 to, I don't know, 800 unit apartment building, or maybe you've got a lead that's especially aggressive, not so much these days with all that's gone on with the debt markets in the recent past, but maybe they buy a portfolio. You know, I've invested in a portfolio of 10 properties that range from Myrtle Beach all the way over to Bentonville. And, you know, I've done work for clients that purchased, you know, five property portfolios, or I guess, well, I'm not going to call it a fund. I think that's the new buzzword. And I would tell any of you that have retirement money, a fund is not necessarily something that you want to involve your money in until you have some assurances on exactly what assets those funds, and I mean that generically, in other words, your funds, what type of assets might that collective fund that you're investing your money in be used to acquire, because it may convert your otherwise allowed investment into a prohibited transaction with very extremely dire consequences. And effectively, you could pay a significant penalty to get your money out later if certain thresholds or exemptions maybe don't apply. And it's beyond the scope of this radio show, but if you decide you want to work with us, those are the kind of issues that we understand that you won't, trust me, you won't, even though the language that gives the lead partner cover will be in the assorted documents, you won't understand what they're referring to and why it matters. And you'll rest, you'll have comfort in some of the language, which is from the sponsor or the syndicator, that, oh, we'll be monitoring to make sure that, you know, you're in compliance if you're using your retirement money, which that's not, I mean, the ink's already dry, and that thought has disappeared, basically, right, as soon as the ink's dry. And just to say a little bit more about syndications, why we like them is that it gives people that are retirement-minded, and I'm going to say retirement, that's the only time I'm going to use that word. I'm going to refer to it as refocused. So if you're in a mindset that you're getting ready to refocus anytime in the next, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, and maybe you're like most Americans, you're behind on your retirement savings, you've noticed everything costs more these days, and if you do a fast forward on the economy and interest rates and inflation, you might be worried because, you know, when you put your money into certain assets, they don't keep up with inflation. Hard assets tend to keep up with inflation better, i.e., an apartment building. And as inflation occurs, theoretically, rents also take advantage, or they're affected, I should say, by inflation. So that's one reason we like real estate. We like hard assets. Another reason, and again, I'm going to keep referring to being during your refocused phase of life, you want to make money faster than any other option you might have access to. And I do mean make money. And so it's not a given. You certainly have to understand a little bit about real estate, or a lot of bit about real estate, how multifamily properties make money compared to single family. And for those of you that maybe have a single family home or 8 single family homes, multifamily is totally different conundrum than single family. The way we make money, thankfully, is much different than single family. We'll go into that here in a minute. And then also, we're looking to offload. The other reason we like, or another reason, is it allows us to offload the day-to-day task. I mean, we're going to be putting, as investors, passive investors, we're going to be putting our capital in. And in exchange for that, we're going to get ownership of an asset, a collective. You're getting a piece of a collective pie. And the lead partner is going to be tasked with things like finding a suitable property, doing the due diligence on probably multiple suitable prospects to pick the best one. And then they're going to undertake the debt placement. In other words, they're going to find lender financing. They're going to provide assorted assurances to the lender that, you know, if the loan doesn't get paid back, they're responsible, not you. Critical distinction between single family and multifamily. How many homes, even your residence, how many homes have you purchased? And maybe you didn't read the fine print, but I can assure you, you were personally guaranteeing that loan. And admittedly, you don't hear too much about lenders going after borrowers, but it happens. And if you're in the typical full recourse mortgage loan for a single family, whether it's your primary or residence or a secondary, maybe a lake house or beachfront property, or I guess also secondarily would be your rental properties, you signed as part of all that gobbledygook that was in those, 100, 150 pages maybe on a typical single family set of closing documents, you signed a personal guarantee. And, you know, some people don't handle that well. I, for one, don't believe that most people should sign personal guarantees unless you've got a balance sheet personally that dwarfs whatever your possible commitment is. And by the way, this is why God made lead partners, okay? If the lead partner doesn't have the wherewithal, either with relationships with parties that do, you know, you could be in a transaction where there's private equity money. The private equity money is getting some type of pref or preference in terms of cash flow. The waterfalls that are created in these transactions to provide cash flow or distributions of cash flow out to the investors. Some investors get a pref or a priority distribution. If private equity is involved, that's usually the first in line. But, you know, you, for a less than 1% interest, which it's likely, if you go into a 300-unit or higher transaction, you're probably going to have over 100 partners. So your ownership interest might be 0.71 or 7.8 or 6.5, 0.65 of 1%. So why in the world would you sign as a guarantee on debt? And I know some of you are saying, well, I'll do it because the lead partner is offering to give me a preference. Trust me, not worth it. If you look back again in the recent past, the landscape is littered with people that had those thoughts that were either joint and several, which is full non or full recourse, which that rarely occurs anymore unless it's your first transaction and you're buying it alone. But in a big partnership with many partners, you will not need or you shouldn't need to sign any type of personal guarantee, whether it's full recourse or non-recourse or qualified non-recourse. You should not sign. And if you get asked to sign, I don't care. And I've seen it happen right at the moment you're being asked to sign as a partner on a loan document, right at the end, and the stack of documents comes out, and you'll hear a lead partner say, oh, by the way, the lender has decided they won't give us this loan unless you sign as a personal guarantee. That is dirty pool in my game. And if you have that happen, my advice is to get up, turn towards the door, and proceed to exit, and don't look back. I don't care what kind of pleadings are being made that, oh, you know, the lender's not going to make the loan. Great. Lose whatever's already in the deal rather than put your name on the dotted line when it comes to a guarantee. Just don't do it. And the qualified non-recourse variety, that one would be okay if anything, well, except for the fact that you're not the one driving the wagon. And the qualified non-recourse variety, and I'm assuming I'm speaking to people that have never really understood what recourse, non-recourse, and qualified non-recourse are, but qualified non-recourse is a beautiful thing for us real estate investors that understand, hey, you know, life isn't free when it comes to borrowing money. And somebody, usually the folks running the transaction, are going to have to give the bank these types of assurances. But qualified non-recourse generally is what we call the industry carve-outs, the, quote, bad boy or girl provisions. And as, say, the bookkeeper absconds with your rents next month and takes a vacation to Tahiti, and the mortgage doesn't get paid, and next thing you know, you're 3 months behind, and the people that sign, the partners that sign as having qualified non-recourse guarantee, so you signed a guarantee, you're on the hook, and the lender can proceed as they may desire against any or all, unless it's been negotiated down, and often those requirements can be negotiated down. I know we've done it in the past because, you know, the lender still has a building, still has a slab of concrete, you know, these things, and land, these things have value. So it's unlikely that you would ever have to be on the hook for the entirety of the loan. But worst case scenario, qualified non-recourse is about the only kind of debt that I would suggest you might consider, and that's a big might in my book. Okay, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take our first break. We will circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
No matter how much it cost, and I'm gonna win no matter how. Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Okay, welcome back with more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and I really didn't mention on our upfront disclaimer, I should have mentioned that involves assisting with these private real estate partnerships, whether it's looking at investments on the front end and helping you, I like to say, understanding, quote, what you're signing up for, end quote, because most people don't. And it's scary. And I'll say this as well. Most syndicators don't understand the documents. They may understand the transaction. God help us if they don't, although you wonder at times based on things that happen that, you know, you might have thought, well, gee, I would have thought X, you know, whatever X might be. And I guess all I can tell you is you don't need to wait around. You need to understand it. And if you don't, get someone on your team that does so that they can explain things like waterfalls and preferences and what happens at liquidation, what happens at all steps of the lead partner's compensation. When are they getting it? Are they getting it up front before anything significant has been accomplished? And I don't, just for you syndicators that are falling out of your chairs right now thinking, well, gee, I found the property, I put the deal together. Guess what? It wasn't that long ago, circa 2010, maybe even later, when all that was included for your promote, your 20% promote. There was no acquisition fee. There was no capital raise fee. There was no debt placement fee. There were no, if I didn't say it already, acquisition fees. There were no refinance fees. There were no adjusting your promote from 20% up to, I don't know, 40 or 50% once you've returned a moderate internal rate of return. No, these are, that's before the seventh inning stretch that syndicators are doing that. And forgive me if my voice is getting a little higher. I'm getting a little, I would say excited, agitated might be a better word. It's just insane how people think differently these days. And I follow quite a few of these syndicators on YouTube, and I hear, And there's some really smart people. I can tell you there's groups that they're a lot smarter than I am. But, you know, like the old, I believe it was Farmers that had the commercial. Maybe they still do. I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. to, and I don't buy all your rosy projections. I'd like to ask you one question that usually will shut most of the syndicators' complaints down. When's the last time you gave anybody their retirement money back that they may have invested in a deal you put out that either went back to the lender on a deed in lieu of foreclosure, or was foreclosed on, or was sold where the partners got none of their capital back? And don't tell me, oh, I've never seen that. No, I have. Maybe you have managed to escape the significant scarring that's taken effect across the collective lead partner landscape. But on the one hand, I like people, as if I'm dealing with a client, it's hard sometimes to work with people that have never experienced any hardship. You know, I'm not asking to know that you necessarily went and filed bankruptcy. I'm more concerned about what was the nature of the calamity and how did you deal with it? What can I expect if something happens again? I want to know how you're going to fight to get my money back. And I don't want to see you driving a Porsche and then you telling me, oh, you know, we lost money on a deal. I know there's some current activity going on within the mentor platform arena. There's one platform, I'm not sure how I would rank them in terms of size, but they recently announced that they were closing up, closing shop, or closing the program. Two cities. And we're sorry. That's all they got. The investors didn't get it. There apparently wasn't enough money to give the investors anything. And, you know, the owner, the guy that took the money, oh, he's sorry. He's apologizing, you know, 18 times in a three-paragraph email. That doesn't cut it. Would you ever invest money again with someone that told you that and then told you that, you know, they're going to have to keep the program open for people that have existing memberships? And it's like, well, where's that money coming from? And when you look at the year-end balance sheet, there's several hundred thousand dollars on it. And so, you know, the forthrightness of the individuals you do business with is tantamount. And I can help you understand what you're signing up for in the legal documents, but I can't sit across the table from a syndicator and look them in the eye. And the last time I did that, it was quite a few years ago, and the guy was not doing apartments yet. He was doing single family and flips, and one of my, it was a prospect at the time. In fact, I don't think I ever did work for his partner, but he heard me on the radio, called me and said, hey, could you meet with my partner and I want you to listen to some things and just tell me if you get a bad feeling or if you think I need to ask for certain additional information. Long story short, that guy, we had the lunch meeting. I did not like what I heard. I did not like what I took to be as they used to say, I haven't heard this expression in a while, a weak jaw, a weak face. And I told the guy, I said, you know, I don't like anything about this arrangement, and I'm telling you right now, it's going to be trouble. Well, prophetic as I was, that gentleman just pleaded guilty to money laundering, Department of Justice charges. You can read about it. It's public information. Hadn't been sentenced yet, but it's likely going to involve jail time. And you might Google San Antonio syndicator plea bargain. See what you see. And for those of you that just blindly give your money to lead partners, this is a wake-up call. And by the way, it's not the first time it's happened in the syndication arena. It's the first time that I've seen it happen with situations where my clients had been approached. To my knowledge, I might have had one client that actually invested with that gentleman before I met them. I counseled none of my clients that they should invest. And I had no good reason other than I just had a bad foreshadowing of what might happen. And that same platform, which is the one that's closing up, has another syndicator that's got a mugshot circulating amongst its partner group. And I just, you know, these are the things that don't happen often, but when they do, they're just an absolute disaster with respect to your money. And the problem you've got as a passive is that you don't know the landscape well enough. I can assure you, nobody that was going to the meetings of that platform were being told, hey, you know, we've got a problem, or we've got problems. And it's just they count on the fact, the folks that run some of these investment or mentor platforms count on the fact that nobody's got the full picture. So, you know, you might see a little slice and somebody else sees another slice. And if you're working with folks like us, we'll let you know. We first heard about this particular money laundering scenario, I guess it's been over a year ago now, a year and a half ago, I believe, somewhere in that neighborhood. And it's not my business to go tell everybody, but if you're one of my clients, we'll be talking. And I just want to help you keep good money going after bad. And if there's a way to get back your money, I would certainly try it, but or help you recognize what that is. Okay, so let's see. We were talking about the debt structure. There's another reason why the debt structure can or might be important, and that involves the tax deductions that get reported to you. And if you're a partner in a syndication, you know, large apartment complex, and we're going to differentiate between the large and the small apartment complexes, because I think, in light of everything that's gone on in the syndication space, small apartment buildings has got to be a focus for more people now, given the fact that, you know, if your trust hasn't been shattered, your cash flow has, no doubt, maybe both. And but in any event, if you're passive in a transaction, meaning you're not undertaking a day-to-day active role in some facet of that project, doesn't mean you have to show up and answer the phone, or you got to show up and show units. That's not what I'm talking about. There's other ways of achieving active material participation. But if you're not doing that, then your losses are limited. And I'm going to leave it to your CPA to explain the limitation in your case, your specific fact pattern, because you could have 200 partners, literally, in a partnership, and the tax returns that go from the partner to the IRS, every one of those returns could show a different amount, ultimately being deductible any year that partnership by those 200 people. It's that complicated, and yet you have to track it. And for those of you that may be doing your own return and you're using something like TurboTax, TurboTax has the ability to do that as long as your brain has the ability to do that, and you're going to have to fill in some gaps that TurboTax doesn't handle on the reporting for those transactions. And unfortunately, it's something that you're going to have to pay somebody to do. I don't know one layperson client that I've ever had that was using some product like a TurboTax that I could count a few that actually put the forms into the return, but they weren't calculated correctly. So I'm just going to tell you, if these transactions are sufficiently complicated enough that if you're not willing to pay somebody to handle the reporting, somebody that understands these beasts, you know, they're different, don't do it, because it may end up biting you. And best case scenario is you might just lose some deductions, but it won't cost you any penalties or anything of that nature. But in any event, so active participation, let's talk about a small apartment building. Let's say you've got two or three or four or six of your best friends, and you join together and go take down a, I don't know, 20 or 40 or 80 unit property. And then you divvy up the responsibilities of running that transaction. You've got one guy that, or gal, that communicates with your legal counsel ongoing, not just once in a blue moon, but you're keeping your hands on the controls. Somebody is working with your CPA. Somebody is working on managing the vendor group and quotes and bids. Someone is doing social media posts. Someone may be showing up every day. If not, you probably find a management company to handle almost any size complex. And it might be a scenario where you could put three or four complexes in a similar geographical area or a close by geographical area where you could find management company that'll take care of all of those properties. But bottom line, our goal is to qualify you as a real estate professional. And without getting into all the gory details, because they are gory, you would then be able to write off significant deductions day one and throughout the life of that transaction. And if you're, as an example, married to a professional and they're high net worth or high income generating W-2 type, this is your best tax shelter there is in the current arrangement of the Internal Revenue Code, is qualifying as a real estate professional, because those losses that the one spouse generates through that investment can offset the earned income of the other spouse. Okay, so that's several reasons why we like multifamily syndication partnerships. And I'm not leaving the Roth concept now. I'm going to give you some information that should make you especially excited if you've already got a Roth IRA, although it's too early to pull the trigger yet. But I have a good feeling that since folks in Congress actually both agree, both sides of the aisle, this is something that's going to happen, and it's long overdue. But in any event, let's take our last break quickly and circle back here momentarily, and I will give you that tentative good news.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at beaplanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fantasies. And there are many just like me. With big dreams and faded tears.
Welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And in the remaining time, we're going to talk about Roth, Roth IRAs and Roth 401s, what I call a self-directed 401. We don't do any consulting with the big company 401 plans except to help you maybe get out of those so you can control your money, invest it in real estate, and refocus as may be your desire. But I want to direct you to our website for just a moment, if any of you have the ability, to go to beaplanner.com. That's beaplanner.com. And go to the, just the main page. It's a parallax design. So you scroll down that page and come to the section that says a 401k that pays you. And I use that language because I hear the uneducated and uninformed amongst us that constantly say, you pay the 401. Why would you want to put your money into a 401? It's a big raspy voice that you've heard many times on this station, and I don't know that he's still on this station, but he's still out there, still, I think, dispensing the same insane, use one of his favorite words, advice. And I guess I don't necessarily disagree with him in the context of historical uses of a 401, but that's old school. I would welcome those persons into the current time that we live, where now we have much more control over the 401, and it looks like we're going to get even more control. And so when you look at the screen, a 401k that pays you, we talk about there's three options under the tax code that allow you to take control of your current retirement funds and use them to invest in real estate. But there's only one option that will minimize your tax burden and double at least your retirement wealth, and can even pay you, ding, 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 401 that pays you while it's doing it. And I've got an illustration there, and I'm not going to dwell on the illustration. I need to update it. I need to adjust the pro forma information a bit, given the current market. But I want to focus on these three options as to what you might want to do before you invest your money in real estate. And, of course, the leftmost option is pay tax now. If you want to pay tax, I'm actually going to give you two choices, and I think you'll like the second one better, but you can pay it on a taxable forever basis, meaning you can cancel out or withdraw all your retirement funds. I'll just read that area there. Liquidate all tax-deferred funds now, no rollover or taxable conversion would be utilized. and you're going to pay federal, state, and maybe local, plus a 10% penalty, if applicable, and generally if you're under 59 and a half. So you're looking, most families' net worth is in the 401k of the breadwinner or winners. You're going to pay, if you're just in the good old state of Texas, you're going to pay at least, well, it depends on how fast you do it, but I know how you folks are. I went through the same programs and did their two-day workshops and one-day workshops, and I know you're raring to go, and you're going to think, well, you know, I can just pay some tax and be done with it. Yeah, you're going to be done with half your family's net worth at the end of the day. Again, insane. And so, and then going forward, you're going to be subject to passive activity loss limitation rules, which our best option is not. And you're going to have to pay tax as you have positive taxable income, which may, truthfully, may not be until the exit. But bottom line is, it's taxable forever. Second choice is to do the 401 trust that we prefer, which is, if you qualify, let's roll the money over to a 401k of the solo K variety, the self-directed variety, where we defer, we have the ability to defer any tax. There's nothing due on the rollover. Now, if you decide to pay yourself later some money, not all of it, certainly, but you may be in the refocused mode where you don't have a W-2 any longer and you need to take, you know, $10,000 or $5,000, whatever your lifestyle demands, out to live on. So in any event, that's your choice, and at that point, you're going to pay some tax. So that's the second option. And I'm not going to read all the way down as we're getting close to time. The third option, and this is the sweet spot, is you roll over your IRA, or roll over to, I'm sorry, this is not the sweet spot. This is next to the sweet spot. You roll over your 401 from the big company to a rollover IRA, self-directed. You're going to pay tax on that income because you pay the UBIT/UDFI tax that is applicable to those IRA accounts. And then you're going to pay tax again when you take money out. Now, if you'll back up to the blue, let's see, did I put that? I don't think I mentioned it there. The 401 trust is not subject to the UDFI tax. It's the only option under the code to invest money in real estate and not pay tax, is the 401 trust with the Roth component of that trust, as we put in every 401 trust we create. Now, let me tell you about the proposal real quick, because I'm running short of time. Maybe I can circle back to this page, and for sure I can do it next week. The proposal is to allow people that have Roth IRAs to convert, or to roll, rather, convert that money over to a Roth 401 or solo K in the self-directed market. Now, you may say, well, what's the difference? The Roth doesn't pay tax. And I say, oh, nay, nay, the Roth is subject, the Roth IRA is subject to the UDFI tax. And I mentioned earlier, 1% or 2% of you Roth IRA investors might know that rule, or may be actually filing the returns each year if you have rents, gross rents attributable to your ownership interest of $1,000 or more. You're subject to filing those forms. And so in any event, but that's, again, that's not something you can control right now, because you can't roll the Roth IRA over to the Roth 401, which gets you into nirvana. Okay, we want to be in nirvana because that's the best way to invest in real estate. So the beauty is that when we get the Roth IRA over to the Roth 401, we escape all the tax. And if you're sitting in a Roth, let's talk about reality. You're invested in a Roth. Maybe the value of that property has gone up significantly. The lead is just waiting for these debt structures to come back to some form of good common sense. And then they're going to sell. Well, when you sell, that's when all your chickens are coming home to roost, and you're going to get hit with a large amount of UDFI. Unless you're able to roll that Roth IRA over before that blessed event into the Roth 401, which is exempt from UDFI and other forms of tax. So if you're sitting on a Roth that's invested in real estate, real estate private partnership, this is big news that you need to follow. And we will follow and keep you updated on this provision because, you know, I've said before, the planets began to align back in 2002 when the Solo K or self-directed, by the way, the code and regs don't refer, Solo K doesn't show up anywhere. Solo K is an adjective that was invented by, I guess, some IRA custodians that sell those plans. The code refers to it as any trust created pursuant to Section 401. Therefore, that's why I refer to it as a self-directed 401 trust. But in any event, you can sidestep the tax, which could be significant. You max out on that tax, by the way, at a high 30s. I forget if it's still 35% or 37, at only about $14,000 in income. Think about that. It's almost, I mean, if you got to gain several hundred thousand dollars, you're going to write a check, big check, because of the UDFI. In any event, stay tuned. I'll try to update this point each week. And I also wanted to mention, you know, I don't think I've mentioned maybe eight times in the history of this show that we are on not only in Houston. I know it sounds like we're based in Houston, and in large measure we are, but we're also on in Dallas on Sundays, 5 p.m., KLIF, and we're on, well, in Houston, we're on KSEV AM 700 and KHCB, 950, I believe, KGCB. And then we're on in San Bernardino, Riverside, L.A. market on AM 1050 and FM 106.5 on Wednesdays at 5. We appreciate you joining in. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to next week.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.